Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to Cable News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined today by Jeremiah Hayden, reporter at Street Roots, to talk about his latest story for the paper. It's called Community Fights for Release of Venezuelan Asylum Seeker Detained for Months. ICE agents in Portland told 22-year-old Jorge Luis Reynaldo he needed to sign papers. When he arrived, they detained him despite previously scheduled legal proceedings. Welcome to the show, Jeremiah.
Hi, Althea. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So this new piece of yours looks into what a Venezuelan immigrant, Jorge Luis Reynaldo, has been facing in immigration detention in the U.S. What can you tell me about Reynaldo? He was first detained in February, right?
Yeah, Reynaldo said that, you know, at the beginning of February, his phone was broken. He couldn't receive messages or send any messages. And then when he finally got it fixed and turned back on February 19th, he had a handful of messages from ICE agents saying that they needed him to come down to the Portland field office to sign some paperwork. He wasn't aware of what that paperwork was. It was an irregular meeting. He already had things on the books. And so he talked to some immigration lawyers here in town who kind of prepped him and said, like, you know, don't sign anything until you have a lawyer present. He went in, he got a ride with someone and went in, and they instantly detained him. And the only paperwork they had for him to sign was to transfer him to the Tacoma, the Northwest ICE Processing Center. They basically said he was subject to a custody redetermination and he was on a list from D.C. So it's worth bearing in mind, you know, this is February 20th. This is just a month after Trump took office and immediately started doing things like this.
You got to interview with Reynaldo. What is his story? Like, what prompted him to immigrate to the United States?
Like a lot of Venezuelans, Reynaldo, you know, faced a lot of challenges when he was in Venezuela. He's 22 now, but, you know, when he was younger, in 2015, 2016, 17, he told me Venezuela was in chaos. It's worth mentioning all of these policies, you know, out of the United States against Venezuela. Venezuela faced a constitutional crisis. You know, as the U.S. led this international push to remove Venezuela's president and put Juan Guaido in power, Trump placed sanctions in his first term. You know, this is a long ongoing issue in Latin America and U.S. policy that has created conditions where he said he didn't have any food. You know, for a period of time, there was nothing in the grocery stores. These sanctions against Venezuelan's state-owned oil company, Venezuela's a petrostate, you know, really just bankrupted the country. And so people were forced to flee. He went to Colombia to study. He couldn't study there because he didn't have documentation. And then him and a friend decided that they were going to try to make their way to the U.S. And then faced Trump's and then, again, the Biden administration's remain in Mexico policy. And so they saw a lot of people who had faced a lot of violence at the border in Mexico who were turning around saying that the border was closed. And they ended up going back to Panama and then back to Venezuela. And then he tried again with his uncle and made it here in late 2023. So he's kind of been through a lot for a 22-year-old. He's a very positive person to talk to. I talked to him, you know, through the iPads that they have at the ICE Detention Center. And, you know, he's always kind of keeping a positive mind on a lot of these things, despite facing some really significant challenges, like most people who are fleeing their country and seeking asylum.
What has been the community response to his detention?
So he made a really quick community here. And, you know, built a community with a lot of people, both through his church and through his work as a day laborer with the Vaz Workers Center. The Vaz Workers Education Project is a nonprofit in town that sets people up with dignified wages for hard day labor that people are working in construction jobs and, you know, irrigation, things like that. He took a course through PCC on irrigation and graduated from that program. And it's really built a lot of, you know, supportive community. So it was a real loss for people for him to just sort of disappear like that one day. It wasn't totally unexpected for them when he went into that meeting that he might be, you know, deported or, you know, at least detained. But people have come together to really, first of all, be together and, you know, demonstrate against these policies that the Trump administration is, you know, sort of continuing and worsening out of the Biden administration. So his community here has really rallied, you know, to do demonstrations, but, you know, in Salem and around Portland that are protesting the Trump's approach to immigration. And, you know, this kind of comes out of, you know, similar demonstrations throughout the Biden administration. This Saturday, a group, a coalition of nonprofits and immigration rights organizations are hosting a caravan from the Vols Workers' Rights Center on Broadway to the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma. And they're hoping to have a big crowd out there to show support for the people that are inside, be able to hopefully do some video kind of chat with people who are inside, just showing support for people because it gets very lonely in there for people who are detained and they don't know if or when they'll leave or where they may be sent to at this point under the current administration.
That was going to be my next question. What are the conditions like at the Northwest ICE Processing Center?
Well, from talking to Reynaldo, he's a very positive person. And so, you know, he told me about some of the things that they do that are to kind of pass the time, play ping pong, do some tournaments, you know, different games and Jenga and things like that. I asked him, you know, just sort of, is that a good way to try to make friends with the people that you're kind of stuck in there with? And he said, well, we don't really need the games. All we really have here is time. So it's pretty easy to make friends. But he basically said, you know, as we were talking, the room kind of burst into applause and I wasn't sure why. And I asked him what was going on and he said, basically, anytime someone finds out that they are no longer going to have to stay here in detainment, whether they're being deported, whether they've been granted asylum here or bond, just the fact that they're getting out of here, everyone kind of celebrates that because it's just really not a comfortable place to be.
Well, the Trump administration has promised to crack down on immigration, and Venezuelan immigrants are a big target of his right now. How does what's playing out at the federal level impact Reynaldo?
It's a little bit challenging to say, and I'm not an attorney, so I really don't want to get too far into that. But yeah, I mean, the U.S. government has, you know, petitioned the Supreme Court. There's an appeal in the Ninth Circuit for a case that came out of the District Court in Northern California. They basically removed the protective status for nearly 350,000 Venezuelan immigrants under the Temporary Protected Status Program. The Supreme Court approved that application. So they're, you know, really the Trump administration has a lot of leeway here, thanks to, you know, having every branch of government and being able to dictate whatever he thinks. So, you know, it's hard to say how that may affect Jorge Luis. I think the protective status program is for people who've been here for a long time. Reynaldo has not been here for all that long, but he does have a really solid community here. You know, there are also some other implications just like around like how bond is denied at the Northwest ICE Processing Center in particular. And that may have broader implications for Reynaldo's case specifically.
In doing this reporting, was there anything that you found surprising?
I think there are a lot of things that are surprising here. One, I sort of alluded to a second ago, which is the Northwest ICE Processing Center has the lowest chance of an immigration judge granting a bond motion of anywhere in the United States. So typically in the United States, the average of cases that are granted bond, that's something that Reynaldo had applied for, he went to a bond hearing and had raised the money for through his community through GoFundMe. The average of cases that are granted bond is 31%. In Florida, there's a processing center that is, you know, as high as 45% of cases are granted bond, meaning people can pay that money, get out, go back to work as they go through the immigration court proceedings, you know, and ultimately toward asylum if they're seeking asylum. The Northwest Processing Center is just 3% of all cases. It's a little bit higher this year at nearly 10%, but that really is a violation. There's a lawsuit that's ongoing in Washington court because that is a violation of the Immigration and Nationality Act, which according to the lawyers who filed that lawsuit. So just the layers on layers on layers of things that are impacting the way that people are being held in these detention centers for long periods of time. You know, it's not exactly surprising, but the more you dig into the details, the more you can find that people are really just stuck in a system of very violent paperwork.
What do you hope people take away from this piece?
Well, these are people. This focuses on one person. We hear hundreds of these stories. You can find these stories from all across the United States of ICE, this pretty young, you know, agency started, you know, after the after 9/11, just going and, you know, taking people without uniforms, just taking people off the streets or requiring them to come in on some pretty sometimes what appear to be kind of false claims that people need to come in because there's really important paperwork. That could sound like a hopeful thing to someone who's seeking asylum, and instead, you know, they go to essentially an immigration prison. These are people, you know, it's important to me in writing this to not just start this thing as somebody crosses the border, but to talk a bit about, write a little bit and ask questions about why someone would be trying to get to the border in the first place. And I hope that that comes through here because these are people and you know, they deserve every bit of due process that our country constitutionally requires.
If our listeners want to read your story for themselves, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way to get Street Roots is to buy a copy from a vendor. I always want to shout out Etta O'Donnell King, who does Street Roots illustrations. It's a really beautiful illustration this week, and it's worth well over a dollar, but vendors accept cash, Venmo, and tips. And you can also find us at streetroots.org.
Thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Jeremiah Hayden, reporter at Street Roots, speaking with me about his latest story. It's called Community Fights for Release of Venezuelan Asylum Seeker Detained for Months. More information is online at streetroots.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.